When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
In the realm of project management, challenges are bound to arise. But the secret in the success lies in conquering them with grace and determination. Welcome back, family. This is your boy, D. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means that, yes, I am back with another episode. Today's episode is entitled, Overcoming Common Project Management Challenges. Again, overcoming common project management challenges. As you guys know, I have a 7-point framework. If you don't and you're new to the channel, have a 7-point framework. We go over 7 quick things that I pulled out of just research or experience, and I want to make sure that I can give you some powerful points that you can go back and do some further homework on, because it's all about growth here, that growth mindset. So let's jump into the 7. The first point is effective communication and stakeholder engagement. Hey, family, if you haven't been watching my videos, you know these are 2 of the biggest things besides the 3rd one, which is collaboration. But effective communication and stakeholder engagement. I actually have a book coming out around. The book is entitled The Magnetic Project Manager with this handsome face here. No, I'm just playing, family. But seriously, I do have a book coming out that really talks to the effectiveness of having effective communication as well as stakeholder engagement. I have to tell you, I've watched time and time again where people think effective communication is, oh, I sent you an email, you should have gotten it because I didn't get a message back saying that the message didn't go through. That's not effective communication. They also say, oh, well, I've engaged that stakeholder. Well, how did you engage them? Because see, family, when you are leading a project, it is imperative that you understand these 2 components of effective communication and stakeholder engagement, because you need to know their communication style. That's one thing about being a project manager. You're going to have different communication styles with different people within your project team. You're going to have someone that, oh, they'll love it when you send them updates through Teams. And then you're going to have other people that want a long, drawn out, very detailed email correspondent, or they just want to get on the phone. How can we get on this phone and solve this now instead of you taking time to put this email together? How about we get on the phone, we solve it, and then you can recap what we solved, so we'll have that for our records. But again, family, making sure that you are effective with your communication as well as engaging stakeholders is going to give you the success that you're looking for. Scope creep and change management. This is point number 2. Family, I don't know how. I know I keep saying that, but it's just so funny though, because you'll say the sponsor or even the customer will say, hey, this is what I want. And just like any and everybody, we have so many creatives out here, including myself. I fall guilty of this too, family, so I'm not pointing the finger at you without pointing the rest of the fingers back at me. So I'm talking to us collectively as project managers. Family, we have to be cognizant of making sure that we understand the scope fully and not try to add our own seasoning or sprinkles on there because we believe this is what the customer want. No, we sat down, we went through the planning process, and we're not running a Scrum project, a Scrum framework, excuse me. We're leveraging a waterfall methodology here that we're speaking about. So If we need to make a change to a scope, what will we do? Because I know I have some smart project managers out there. Excuse me, not smart. Intellectual. Does that sound more appealing? But seriously, though, family, no. If we have to make a change, or a customer wants a change, or the team is thinking, oh, we need to add, we go through CAB. We go through the change management process. The reason why we want to do this is we want to ensure that we're documenting this change, because if we don't first document the change and or just continue just to build something outside of what the customer asked, then that would be a failed project because we're not delivering on what we agreed upon with the customer. And change management, like I said, I brought that up as well. It's just change management. I know a lot of people don't like going through. I love going through change management, as far as I love the documentation that is required, because what will happen is that will save you as a project manager, and it will protect the organization in case of you're ever audited and saying, well, we know this change happened. Who were all involved and things. So I love that when you're working in an organization that has a good change management process, you're probably going to want to stick around, because they're going to make sure that you have success. Point number three, resource allocation and management. You know, I don't really like management too much. I'm always pushing the word what? With the word am I pushing is leadership. But resource allocation, when you are leading a project, you really do have to have you have to master the art of taking what you have and leveraging it while your maybe a resource may be prioritized to go somewhere else temporarily until they can come back to your project. So you have to learn, you have to always be figuring out ways to optimize your resource, balance workloads, ensuring that you're also at the same time addressing any constraints that come towards your particular project. Let's move on to point number four, risk identification and mitigation. Listen, family, through the entire project, you should always want to make sure you are looking for new risk and also addressing risks that you've already identified that have not happened. And the reason why I say that, a lot of times I've seen in projects as well, is that we'll identify some risk, and that's where we'll leave it. Well, yeah, we'll keep it in our risk register to watch them to make sure that, you know, they don't turn into an issue, but we're not constantly looking. You know, one of the biggest things, it reminds me of a Easter egg hunt. When I was little, we used to do these Easter egg hunts at the church, and they would take these eggs and hide them all over the church. And the thing about it is what I realized is while everybody was just, you know, going all over the place and looking all outside, I started realizing that the majority of them were inside. So I said, well, I'm seeing people, you know, they're just scattering all over the place and just trying to figure out what, and I'm watching that. See, this is, I'm giving you an example, a correlation between real life and project management. But seriously, though, family, I was watching that, and I said, well, hey, won't I just try to stay in here and get as many as I can versus, because that's where everyone is at. The point I'm trying to make, family, is a lot of times is that we're not constantly looking at our project and viewing it on a constantly basis. We're just trying to get the X and O's, get these artifacts out, making sure the schedule's up to date and all of that. But the risk is very important, family, to your particular project. Point number five, time and schedule management. I actually have a book, family, that I want to put out for you guys around time management, some things that I found successful. It'd be like a small read. I may even just add it on as a bonus to the Magnetic Project Manager book that's going to be coming out next month, which is August of 2023. But anyway, I digress. Time and schedule management. Reason why time is only an element that you can never get back. You can negotiate it, but you can never get it back. And what's important is when you are building out your schedule, you heard me say schedule, not your plan, because there's a difference. If anyone starts talking about what's your project plan, you need to ask them, what are you referencing? If they say anything about a schedule, then you know you may be in the wrong place and they don't really know project management as well as they led on to believe. But anyway, understanding to identify strategies to be effective with your schedule. Maybe you may need to run activities parallel. Maybe you need to fast track something. Maybe you need to crash the schedule. But always looking for ways to optimize your schedule and your time as a project manager, because you will get pulled into meetings and things, and because they're looking for you to do, you know, to lead the meeting or to document things that they're doing. But you also have to ensure that you're empowering your team also to be able to do that if you can't make those meetings because of the fact that you're working on the back end of the project. And to me, when I always say the back end of the project, I'm talking about the artifacts that really aligns on where we're going in this project. Point number six, here's my favorite, as you guys know, team collaboration and motivation. So I always believe in motivating the team, and it's not always on some, I'm inspiring them, but I'm also having fun. Listen, family, when you work a project, the majority of the time, if you're leveraging the methodology of a waterfall environment, you're working with this team pretty much consistently throughout the whole project. There will be people that come in and come out, but majority of the time, these are the team that you're working with. So why not have fun? I mean, like, I'm all about being serious, but it's plenty of times, family, I'll come on a call and I'll make some jokes, or I'll make people think I'm being serious, and then I'll just bust out and start laughing because of the fact that, family, you want your team to have, you know, to, it's already bad enough they're around you all the time, but just, and you want to enjoy the process of this project. And then being able to collaborate, that's one of my, if someone said, hey, what are some key foundational principles to project management? The two, I'll always say the two C's, communication and collaboration. If you're able to get those understood, get those navigated through the organization effectively, when it comes up, when you have risks that turn into issues, the team is willing to jump in and figure out a solution instead of telling you 13 reasons why it won't work and it can only give you one reason. It can only give you one reason why it might work. So when you're in a collaborative, motivated type team, the sky's the limit. Those are my favorite teams to work with, the teams that are looking to collaborate, where they're trying to identify new ways of or new approaches to addressing a particular problem, and then staying motivated. I mean, keeping that growth mindset, not keeping a fixed mindset. And, you know, again, if you haven't read the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, that book is a classic. I'm actually going to go back and read it again. I think I've read that book probably about 5 times already or more probably, and listening to the audiobook multiple times. But it's such a good book about the growth and fixed mindset. And you, family, you will realize that you'll be working in environments where there are people that have that fixed mindset that, oh, nothing will get better, it would never change, it never work out, why are you doing that? So, but the growth mindset, which you are because you're watching this video, is more or less of how do we go about doing it? If we don't, we'll figure it out. If we can't figure it out, we'll figure it out again. If we can't figure it out again, we'll figure it out again. So that those are the type of things that I really love, and because it's all about encouraging the aspect of communication. I'm sorry, I got a little excited about that. That's my thing. Matter of fact, probably have a book coming out on that and the class. Anyway, I digress. Point number 7, and I'll leave you with this: handling unexpected challenges and setbacks. You know what? What makes project management is interesting is because as you're leading a project, you really don't know what's about to happen a lot of times. You're like, well, what do you mean, AD? Well, the reason why I say that is because through the planning phase, through even, you can almost be in monitor and controlling within the process groups, and you find out, oh man, we need to go back to planning because I just identified something that is very relevant to this project. And if we don't address it, well, this project is not gonna close. This is gonna go on forever. So family, we always wanna make sure that we are, stand focused to identify unexpected challenges, and when they come, to be able to stand firm and make informed decisions and leading your team with confidence through these challenging situations. Well, family, this has been your boy D. I hope you really enjoyed today's episode. Really powerful episode for me, because I understand that if this is your first time leading a project, you're gonna have some pitfalls, and to overcome them is gonna require your team to be able to lock arms to make sure that you can move forward. All right, thank you, family. Until next time.